Hello, hello. We welcome you today to Love is Spoken Queer, Gospel Topics, LGBTQ plus voices. I'm Dustin Larson.
And I'm Renee Hernandez.
And Renee, how are you? We are now, midway through May? Now I'm just like a countdown through May, but we are just chugging along through May. So how have you been?
I've been good. I am officially done with the semester. My grades have been coming in, and so far, I don't know how I did it, but so far I still have A's. I have an A minus, I'm pretty sure, in one class, because I got a 91.8%, which I think is an A minus. But I made it. I was so happy. I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. I can finally like breathe for a minute. I am a graduate research assistant for the summer. So that started about when classes were ending. So I am still doing stuff, but it's like one thing, you know, which is great. I also just did a race, I think from, last time I spoke, I don't know if I mentioned that I did a half marathon, but I just did the Zion National Ragnar Trail Race that was in Zion National Park, which is really, really fun. Definitely encourage anyone who wants to do it. So it's been good. It's been so nice to like have time to kind of like relax. I am currently actually in Logan, Utah with my family. Since I came here for the race, I decided to stop by for a couple of days and visit them before I headed back to Virginia. How about you, Dustin? How is life going for you? Because you are back in New York City.
Yeah, so we switched coasts. You're now back in Utah, West Coast. I am now back in the East Coast. And let me tell you, like, my body is still figuring out what to do. Like, I'm still up at like 4 or 5 a.m. and then I like hit crash around 11, and then I take like mini naps, which I probably shouldn't do. I should probably just stay all the way through one of these days so that way I can get back my sleep schedule. But then I'm just having this tough time falling asleep. I never really fall into deep sleep, so I never get really true quality sleep. I don't get quality sleep, and so that's kind of taking its toll. But I think if I get like one more week at a normal sleep schedule with a normal work schedule, then I'll be fine, and I won't be doing like a million things all at once. I've eliminated one of those things. Another one of those things, this is the last week for it, my fitness program, so I'll be going back to just doing two podcasts and my normal work rather than doing basically three jobs in a fitness program, because that kind of put things on a delay, because it was one too many things. I decided I was doing one too many things at once, and the cadence of things kind of went off kilter a little bit. And then one other thing that I thought was really interesting was, I don't know if it's just me, I don't know if it's just like how the world is right now, but I have been in some weird funk this last week. Like, I don't know if it's because I miss my family, I don't know if it's because I'm now by myself again, but it's just everything just feels off. And I feel unsettled. At first I thought it was just kind of like a mini depression, like just coming back and like getting back into the routine of everything. But it just, I think the more people I've been talking to, the more they feel the same thing. It's just like, no one knows whether they should wear a mask, even though the CDC says you can take it off if you're fully vaccinated, but then people don't feel comfortable. And then it's just like being surrounded by all these people again in the city. It's like overwhelming. And so I think I'm going to have to like ease back into it. But then if I stay in my apartment for too long, I get like hermit syndrome, where I feel like a recluse and I just don't want to leave. And then I get more and more in my funk. So I'm starting to head out and at least walk around. I'm lucky to live right next to Central Park, and there's the Jackie O Reservoir, which is this big man-made lake in the middle of Central Park. And it's a pretty decent distance. I'm not sure how many miles it is or if it is even a mile, but I've been starting to go and walk around that because it gives you this gorgeous view of the Upper West Side. And it just reminds me that the city isn't just all like crowded. Like it reminds me why I love and fell in love with the city and came over here in the first place. And I don't want my 10-year anniversary, which is coming up, I think in not this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, May 29th is my 10-year anniversary in New York. I don't want to be in this funk while I'm still in New York, and it should be a time for celebration. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. And if anybody out there is kind of in a weird kind of mood as well, know that you aren't alone. It's just, things are just real weird. The world is literally burning around us. Like, there's so many things going on right now. I don't know if it's because we're super attuned to it now that we're all super sensitive to it, but the prophecies of the last days are sure coming to fruition right now. There's wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places and all that stuff. So I think we're heading down the finish line pretty soon here. But again, no one knows when that is, but I'm the evidence is there. So that's how I am.
Well, I mean, I'm there with you on the jet lag and not the growing pains that you're kind of feeling right now. but hopefully you get to adjust considering summer is like summer. Well, actually, New York's beautiful and awesome all year round, but the summer has so much activities, and the fact that things are opening back up is going to be so, so exciting. Also, when I get into town next week, because I'll be in New York, you better show me what you're talking about, because I still want to see it.
See what, the reservoir?
Yeah. I've seen the reservoir. Weren't you saying that there's this really nice walk that gives you a really beautiful view of the West Side?
It's around the Jackie O Reservoir.
Oh, okay. I must have misunderstood you then. Okay, well then forget what I just said. I've been there and I love it.
Yeah, no, because you see the East Side as you walk one way, and then as you're walking back, yeah, you see the West Side, and then you see Midtown, or the beginnings of Midtown. And yeah, it's really pretty. It's so pretty at night, but for some reason it felt more closed in. And I don't know if they went and they remodeled it or anything in the last 7 months since I haven't been here, but it felt more condensed. So I don't know. Mm. I could just be in a weird Alice in Wonderland sort of zone right now where everything just feels topsy-turvy, upside down. But yeah, I am excited to be back in New York. And with summer coming up, that means we're going back to kind of a new normal, which means our normal tasks are going to be happening. And you know what is kind of a normal task that we need to accomplish?
I would say Haikulaluya.
Yes, our Haikulaluya. And
woo!
And I didn't just randomly choose the word task to kind of lead us into this. It's because we are going to be discussing Doctrine and Covenants chapters 51 through 57. There was actually quite a few in this, but again, they're kind of quick and easy. But we were going to be looking at it through the queer perspective of tasks. And so we are now on an even episode. Yes, this is 20. So 2020. Last time I did that, the world ended. So I should probably be careful with doing my Baba Walters 2020. But anyways, so I go first on the even episodes. Okay, so here I go. So here's my Haikulaluya on 2020. See, now I'm jinxing myself. So here's my Haikulaluya on tasks. God has divine tasks to help build Zion for all. He will make them known.
Could you repeat that again for me? I think it went over my head.
Yeah. God has divine tasks to help build Zion for all. He will make them known.
Dude, I'm jamming with that. Yeah. Okay. Well, man, now I thought mine was good, but yours is really good. Okay. Tasks. Your tasks have been set. Take action now and fulfill. The blessings await.
Yes, yes, yes. I think we were saying the same thing, but we took a different approach to it. So, yeah.
But I like yours because yours is like very divine and poetic. Mine's very much like, get your butt in gear and go do.
No, because I love these chapters. I'm repeating myself. I did this with the Book of Mormon about how it really reflected the nowadays times and how we could really relate to it. And now I'm saying this about the Doctrine and Covenants, about how queer people of faith can really relate to the early saints, because we are entering into this new frontier of not having kind of guidance or lights or all this stuff, sort of this topics that we've been talking about. And it just repeated itself again in these chapters, where they're all now kind of gathering to where they thought Zion was going to be at that point in time. And it still might be. It's just God was just like, at this point, you either die or save yourself. So it could still be there later on. But so they all travel to where they thought Zion was going to be. And they're like, now what do we do? Do we do it this way? Do we do it that way? And so then God gives a really great kind of how-to guide for the saints. And then he goes into specifics with each member that had that specific question. I really think that that's a great kind of example for queer people of faith to follow as well. Is we're entering into this land, not this land, well, it could be a land, and or these different congregations, and we're not exactly sure how to go about it. And much like the saints, sometimes we come into the wards or the branches hearing that there are queer people of faith there and expecting them to have all the answers, where sometimes those members have just been sitting there living their lives and not really putting their identity in the forefront. Where I know in New York, a lot of people put their identity at the forefront, and so they're a little bit more of kind of a guide. But I know in other places, and I know you've expressed it too, where you never really wore your label on your sleeve until you became more comfortable and confident with it. And so I think that's kind of what the saints were like too, is they thought once they all gather together in one place, they're going to figure out all the answers. But that's not the case. And God didn't want them to be discouraged. And he goes, I'm going to present to you how I feel the church should be established. And I'm going to do it little by little, because I know basically you're like children. I think you discussed that in the last few chapters where God compared us to children, and you need to handle these things little by little. And so that was my long-winded intro to Renee. When you first hear the word tasks as a queer person of faith, what first comes to mind?
Can I tell you that I knew we were going to ask this, and I was trying my best. Task just always seems so technical of a word. It just seems like you have a chore list and then you're getting to do it. I associating it to a queer person is like, it feels like sometimes we have this checklist of things that we feel we have to do as queer members of the church or on our coming out process and everything like that. And so that's what really just made me think of, you know what I mean? Like, I know these chapters, like you just mentioned, cover like this idea of like the saints felt like when they were going to arrive, everything's going to be laid out for them. And then suddenly they're like, oh no, sweetie, you got to do this all by yourself. Like, I can give you a blueprint and maybe I'll give you one. And then they had to like take care of all these tasks. So I guess like if I was to link it in that way, I would say like the queer perspective that I've mentioned in the past podcast, that one of the things that I struggle with sometimes is that we don't have a lot of clear revelation about our queer journeys here on earth and what Heavenly Father expects of us. And it's almost like we are setting our own tasks for what that looks like. And so it's that the task for me almost equals the unknown, the things that we don't even know if we're doing correctly, but we do them anyways because we want to progress in understanding ourselves, our place in the gospel. And for some of us, you know, the place outside of the gospel, or sometimes you're forever going to be in that friction space, which is sad, but true. So I don't know. Long-winded ask to say, I don't know, but those are my thoughts. What about you? Like, I'm actually really curious how you were able to apply tasks to the queer, you know, identity.
Well, it kind of mimics what you were saying too, is we as queer members, we come together as a group of people and we're expecting something to happen. And then when we realize we don't all know the answers and we're going to have to figure it out together, something needs to be done in order to take those first steps. So it's easier for us to start with little tasks and then build up to the bigger tasks. Like, I know that when I first started talking with the leadership of the church, I really wanted to have like this big fireside, like this, you know how there's like a women's conference. I wanted to have that for LGBTQ members. I wanted to have, and they were on board with it for a little bit. And then I don't know what happened, but they kind of watered it down to what eventually became the LGBTQ plus study group. Not saying that that is diminished in value in any way, but it was supposed to be real big. Like, we were supposed to have kind of like a weekend sort of thing where there would be workshops for bishops. We were going to have Elder Christofferson's brother, Tom Christofferson. He was going to come. He was going to have kind of a workshopping class. There's going to be a fireside. It was going to be a panel of queer members and just sharing our stories and sharing our experiences. And then that kind of basically got watered down to what I said is the LGBTQ plus study group. So that was the first task that needed to be happened, was to find a way to be in line with the leadership of the church and also minister to the queer people of faith within this area. And so that was a task that needed to be fulfilled. And then we can take on more and more tasks. And now this podcast was another task that kind of grew out of that, which was the next step. And so who knows what happens when the pandemic kind of levels out and we're able to kind of meet in groups again. Like, maybe we can have kind of an area thing where we can get together with the surrounding areas of New York City, get New Jersey, get DC, get Pennsylvania, whichever is able to, and kind of do kind of a regional sort of LGBTQ study group. And so that, again, is, we're all about long-winded answers right now, but that is kind of what came to mind for me, is just like you said, we don't have a guide, we don't have a how-to book, so we need to get something done. And in order to get something done, we need to develop tasks. Sometimes they're spiritually minded, they're divinely inspired by God and his promptings, and sometimes they're just things that we need to get done. They're very organizational. And one of the things that kind of jumped out at me in the manual, which goes kind of along this line, which again is really relatable to queer people of faith, it says, consider these words from Elder Quinton L. Cook. We live in perilous times when many believe we are not accountable to God and that we do not have personal responsibility or stewardship for ourselves or others. Many in the world are focused on self-gratification and do not believe they are their brother's keeper. In the church, however, we believe that these stewardships are a sacred trust. And the reason why that jumped out to me is we as queer people of faith, we kind of get it from both sides, where yes, we do kind of have the trials and the temptations of the world, and this is how you're supposed to express your authentic self. You're supposed to do it through all these things you see in the media and all these like drugs, sex, rock and roll, like all these sort of things. But then you also get the fact that sometimes the members aren't treating us as the stewards that need to be ministered to. And so we're kind of the middle ground people where we're like, yes, this is true about how we need to start really gearing up and get our spiritual defenses up. But at the same time, you kind of have to put yours in check as well, because Christ, especially we'll get these in the chapters later on, he says that you need to do it to everyone, especially the poor, the meek, and the ones that need it the most. Because if you aren't doing that, you aren't true disciples of mine. And so we're kind of that reminder that you can't pick and choose who you're going to be a disciple for, because Christ didn't do that. As long as people turned to him for guidance, then he was going to accept them.
Can I ask you something? Like, just listening to that, first of all, yes, I love all of what you said. There's a verse that kind of like hit me in the first section of this. And I was just kind of curious, because kind of like you've said, there's a lot of unknowns when we're talking about the queer idea of building Zion, right, within the church almost in a way. And in verse 2, it said, "For it must needs be that they be organized according to my laws." Do you ever wonder how we as queer individuals in the church need to organize ourselves when the laws feel like they're going against us most of the time? And sometimes we don't even understand how the laws apply to us when they feel like we're contradictory to them.
No, because what are the first two laws? Love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. So if everything goes back, I'm going to steal this from Hayden, is if everything that we are doing goes back to fulfilling those first two laws, then we can have faith in our actions and what we're doing. And then we can figure out those things when the time comes. So I know that's kind of like a solve everything sort of thing, but I feel like in order for us not to go crazy trying to nitpick all these other sort of laws, remember that those are the two most important ones. And he said that those are the most important ones. So as long as we're fulfilling those two, we can aspire to fulfill all these other ones that we're still kind of questioning and working through.
For me, I hear you and I nod, right? Because I totally agree with you and I've experienced it to that point where I understand. But I always wonder of like a queer individual who's listening to the apostles and prophets speaking at general conference. And that's not the laws they're highlighting always. You know what I mean? They do always touch on love your fellow neighbor and love God, but they're also having a ton of other laws. And I just wonder, but like, how do you feel like we as queer individuals, when we are navigating that and trying to establish our own Zion, should navigate that fog that makes it so much harder to get to the point where you do focus more on those two laws that you just mentioned, when there's so many others that we feel like you have to, you know, navigate through first?
One thing that I always do is I always go into it mentally prepared to possibly hear those things that could discourage me. And I can't remember where this was, but my mom always brings it up. So I'll have to go back and see where in the scriptures it says this. But the saints in the pioneer days, like their trials were of the body, because they were at a period of time where there wasn't much advancement in medical fields. Like they were very distant away from each other, like that sort of thing. And then us modern day saints, ours are battles of the spirit that we're coming across, because the adversary has really easy access to it, because information can be transferred to us all over the world and at instant speeds. So we always have to remember that any sort of doubt or discouragement comes from the adversary. It's never going to come from Christ or God. And that is to distract us from the words that some of the general authority are saying in general conference. Is we're so caught up on the fact that they're attacking my identity that we don't find the spiritual truths that we do identify with, because we're so distracted. So I think that's one of the tasks that we have to take upon ourselves when we go into general conference, or we go into a lesson that we know is going to be kind of difficult to listen to, is to mentally and spiritually prepare ourselves to look past that discouragement. And it takes practice, and you won't get it the very first time, but that will help you find connection with the words that God wants you to. And again, as long as you do that, you can turn to him when you have time to kind of really deep dive into it. And you don't have to do it as like a moment's notice, because the moment you hear it, your blood starts to like kind of run, and your heart starts to race, and you're not focusing on the words that come after that one thing that kind of offended you. So we just really need to work on making sure that we are mentally and spiritually prepared when we are going to encounter some of those things.
I really love that response. Thank you, Dustin. There's sometimes when I read a lot of the scriptures we reflect in the podcast, and I just wonder how, if our mindset creates this like sense of not realism because we've already reached this point in our growth, you know? So it's great to hear you put it into those words. So thank you. I do want to say that the last verse in that section was really cool to me. Well, second to last, is verse 19, where it says, "And whoso is found a faithful and just and a wise steward shall enter into the joy of his Lord and shall inherit eternal life." It made me wonder, as me as a queer member in the church, what am I a steward of? And what will bring the Lord joy when I accomplish it and allow me to inherit eternal life here on earth? Because I know that my journey involves that queerness. So I know that the Lord will acknowledge that joy through my queerness, or as part of my queerness, my Latinx, and all those different identities too, right? So I really love that. I didn't full on get an answer just yet, but that's the, it was a quick little thought that came to my mind.
Well, I have the answer for you because
yay!
I don't think it's the answer that you're expecting, but the next verse that jumps out at me kind of explains why or when you'll get that answer. And it's Doctrine and Covenants 52, verse 4. And it says, "Inasmuch as they are faithful unto me, it shall be made known unto them what they shall do." And I said, as a queer person of faith, I sometimes feel overwhelmed by trying to figure out my role in building Zion. God has promised that if I just keep the faith, my unique tasks will be made known unto me. So as long as you keep the faith, God will make it known unto you, whether that's sharing a specific story on this podcast, whether it's bearing your testimony as a queer person of faith in church, you'll know in the moment when God is saying, act upon these tasks. And I think that's kind of the answer to your question, is you're not sure what you're supposed to do. And that's because God will inspire you to do them when it's time for you to do that.
Oh, I love that. It's like every time you're prepared different stages in your life, that will be what you're a steward over. It's almost like when you get a calling, right? Every time your calling is different. So even after growth, your calling will be different. I really like that. Thank you. Also, that's convenient that you had an answer for that. So not that we planned that, anyone listening, we didn't. That was just pretty cool.
And then the next one that jumped out at me, which is going on to verse 14, kind of explains what I was saying before about spiritually preparing ourselves for like general conference or kind of those tougher talks. And it says, "And again, I will give unto you a pattern in all things that you may not be deceived. For Satan is abroad in the land and he goeth forth deceiving the nations." So that kind of feeling of discouragement is Satan saying, don't listen to anything else after this point, because it's not important to you, because you're not accepted here. And that's Satan saying, don't listen to this, because he doesn't want Christ to have a grasp on our testimonies, because that will be stronger than his grasp on us. And so we just need to keep remembering that some of our most important tasks that we need to do is to continue in the faith. It's hard. It's a hard road, especially in this day and age where there's so much turmoil and there's so much division. There's so much us versus them sort of mentality, that we really need to remember that there's certain tasks that we can do to get us back on track. And sometimes that's just daily scripture studies. Sometimes that's talking it out with our other queer people of faith. Sometimes that's taking a social media fast, but God will let us know what to do, when to do it, when the time is necessary.
Okay. I love how you subtly threw in the social media fast, knowing that I'm doing that right now. So thank you.
You're welcome. And then another thing that kind of jumped out at me in these scriptures, because again, like I was saying, these first few scriptures, first few chapters, I was almost like copying, pasting almost every single verse because it was really good. It was really relatable. And then the second half was more specific to those individuals. Like a couple of them kind of made God mad. And he's like, unless you straighten up and fly right, I'm going to take away these blessings and never give them back to you. But the ones that I really focused on was the first half. And so staying in chapter 52, verse 40, it says, "And remember in all things the poor and the needy, the sick and the afflicted. For he that doeth not these things, the same is not my disciple." And I said, as a queer person of faith, I know that my divine tasks are not complete unless they include ministering to all of God's children, not just the privileged few. My unique perspective allows me to live more fully as a true queer disciple of Christ. And so that's another thing too, when we come across sort of those tough topics in Sunday school or in priesthood, where if our fellow members aren't kind of coming to our queer defense, not saying that we need to have a debate, but if they aren't showing love and acceptance to our queer experience, then they really aren't showing a true discipleship to Christ. And that's something that we need to kind of encourage them to do. And we're in a very great perspective and we have really great experience to do that, because we're able to take ourselves out of so many scenarios, because we are part of a marginalized society, but then there's marginalized societies in our marginalized society. So we're we know what it feels like to be divided and conquered, or try to be divided and conquered. So we know that we are stronger together. And so we need to just help influence those around us to kind of join us in the fight. Because again, the adversary is after all of us. He's not picking and choosing certain ones. Yes, he may be doing the most spiritually weak, but sometimes those people aren't spiritually weak of their own doing. So we need to remember that we're all in this together. That's what Zion is, one heart, one mind, looking towards God. And if we are trying to be like the saints in the early restoration and trying to build that Zion, we need to take that one heart and one mind, no matter the walk of life of the members that are surrounding us.
The thought you just shared, would you say that's like it's applicable to when you're part of the queer community as well? I sometimes wonder, because, you know, the queer community is so diverse. It's sometimes to be, it's hard to be of one, you know, mind with the queer community. Do you think it would be just as difficult with the members of the church at all?
I think when you get into what makes a person, it's going to be kind of complicated, because not one person is exactly the same as the other. I've been seeing a lot of my friends of the Jewish faith talking about what's going on in Israel and Palestine right now, and just how detailed of an experience that is when it comes to support for one group of people is seen as neglecting the support of another person. It's just so intricate, our experiences. And so I think we just need to take the utmost respect and the utmost care to learn and listen about someone's experience, so we can get all the facts and not jump to conclusions, not jump to hate, jump straight to hate. Because a lot of these kind of difficulties are arising from hate and feeling a sense of insecurity, and how to rid the world of that insecurity is to get rid of what they feel is the source of that insecurity. And I talked about this with my friend Lindsay on our Beauty and the Beast episode for Fairy Gospel, but that target is always going to change depending on who's in power, who feels most at risk of losing that power. And so choosing violence, choosing to eliminate any group of people is not the solution. And we need to start building our resources together, not in a way to eliminate the people, but to eliminate the hate. And so to answer your question, yes, I think it is very difficult when you are dealing with what makes a person a person.
No, I love that. And thank you. And can I tell you that the way you're answering these is kind of like reminiscent of how the Lord kind of has been finishing off every chapter, about always saying like, this is the reward, the merits that you're going to receive from all the, you know, the challenge of building everything that you're doing. In verse 43, behold, I, the Lord, will hasten the city in its time, and will crown the faithful with joy and with rejoicing, which is kind of like the similar vibe I was getting as you were sharing your thoughts as well in regards to that question. So thank you.
Yeah. And again, thank you for reminding me of that, because I always love the vision of a crown, a nice little diva crown when we get through this journey. But yeah, it's just, Christ was just saying that it's going to get tough. It's going to be a long road, but you'll get your rewards half in this life, half most of it in the next life. But you need to not lose track of the tasks ahead of you that need to be completed in order for you to get to that. And you're not supposed to leave any of your fellow humans behind, because it was meant for all of us. We were all given the opportunity to come to Earth. Unfortunately, we weren't all given the same opportunities while on Earth, but we need to open our eyes to this. I think that's something that the pandemic really did. And some people are fighting it. They're wanting to go right back to what was before the pandemic. But now that our eyes are open, I don't think we're ever going to go back. I think it's just going to continue to turn into this contention after contention after contention, because that's what has been prophesied. But we just need to remember that we need to just push through it and be spiritually strong and spiritually together, and we'll get through it on the other side. But there's certain tasks that we need to accomplish before we get there.
And I really love that, because it's like, I don't know, I've always been, I feel like one of the reasons I love the gospel so much is because it shows us that it's a gospel of progression, not a you're here and you're done, right? So, and I love how you've been saying that that is how our queer experiences are. I sometimes feel like it's with the gospel, there's some things that are so like, this is how they are. You know what I mean? But with queerness, it's never like that. And so sometimes it can feel overwhelming when you have no sense of guidance. But you're right. There's a lot of things in the scriptures that really do give us a sense of direction, if we choose to really like dig deep and learn from it, you know?
And studying these Doctrine and Covenants, again, when I started to plan out season 2 of the Doctrine and Covenants, I was just like, how are we going to make this spiritual? How are we going to relate to this as queer people of faith? And this, we're almost halfway through now, because we're going to hit June and we'll be halfway through this curriculum. It's really building upon my testimony that if you look for the sacred and you look for your experiences within a text, you're going to find it. And I've never related more so to the early saints than I do now. I actually come from a lineage of early saints, so I have their blood running through me, but this is the first time I've ever felt seriously connected to it other than my name, other than my blood, other than my lineage. And I really am glad that we are able to relate to so many of the early saints' experiences, because it just lets us know that we're not alone, and God knew that we wouldn't be alone because the early saints weren't alone. He was with them, and now he's giving their experiences to us so that we aren't alone going through it ourselves.
The final scripture that I would share as we're wrapping up, I guess, a little bit, in Doctrine and Covenant 56, the only reason I really like this is just because it's something you said in the past, and it's something that I've always kind of contemplated, is how the people that came before us kind of impact who we are, and who we are is going to impact who the next generation. The final verse in section 56 is verse 20, and it says, "And their generation shall inherit the earth from generation to generation forever and ever. And now I make an end of speaking unto you, even so, amen." And it just reminded me of like this whole, the church, the gospel, the Heavenly Father has been working this for many, many generations to the point of where we are now. And our queer experiences are that way too. There's been generations upon generations that have made it so much better for us living in today. And hopefully we'll be able to do the same for the generations that come. And just like the saints, when they first arrived, you know, in their promised land, there was nothing, and they turned it into something much better. We're slowly building that, and it's getting better. So I just really like that, because it just reminded me that power of inheriting the trials, the successes, and the encouragements of our past, you know, queer members of their faith.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. I actually really, really love that perspective, and it actually is going to influence my weekly calling. So before we get into our weekly callings, I think that's a great place to kind of wrap up our discussion for these chapters and take a short break. And welcome back from the break. You're listening to Love is Spoken Queer, and Renee and I have just finished discussing Doctrine and Covenants chapters 51 through 57 through the queer perspective of tasks. And Renee, based on our discussion today, what do you feel called to do?
To honestly, just to kind of contemplate that part about stewardship, I know you gave an answer, but it really left me thinking about what has Heavenly Father given me as stewardship as a queer member of our church and our faith, excuse me, I should say, that I can bring joy to Him, but also joy to myself and all those around me. I kind of want to explore that thought a little bit more. Maybe I'll have an answer in another podcast. Stay tuned.
My weekly calling, I feel called to kind of take a call to action from those last verses that you shared and really cherish what the generation before me has inherited it and passed on to me, and then prep it for the generation that's coming after, and to really make sure that we make sure that all of the things are really held together and preserved, so that way we can continue on this it gets better from generation to generation, and don't let it kind of lay stagnant, and to continue making sure that it gets better and it's more inclusive and it's more willing and able to include everybody that is really supposed to be part of the Zion, one heart, one mind, and that's everyone who's turning their heart to Christ, and not necessarily Christ itself, but some sort of spiritual being, our brothers and sisters or our siblings from all these different walks of life and different religions fall under that as well. And so just to really cherish what the generations before us have given us, and then make sure that we preserve it for those that will be coming along after us.
Oh, that was tender.
And listeners out there, if you'd like to share with us what you feel your tasks are, they could be personal tasks, they could be spiritual tasks, feel free to send them to our Gmail account, which is lovespokenqueer@gmail.com, or you can send it to us on social. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And Renee, before we leave our listeners, is there anything you'd like to share with them to take with them throughout the rest of this week?
If I've learned anything this last few weeks, is that sometimes life is going to get super hard. But if I may say something, it's like, don't put pressure on yourself on the expectations of once give yourself a break, a time to breathe, and embrace the moment. Because sometimes in that moment, you really do find the inspiration for what to do next. So that's me on my pedestal, on my high horse, just giving nice sage advice for taking a moment to breathe and enjoying life.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I know this week I'm going to take a lot more time to breathe and get back into the swing of things for getting back into this crazy life that I have in New York City. And listeners, so the only thing we have to do is to thank you for listening and to remember to always be true to you.
And love one another.
Until next time, bye.
Ciao.
You've just listened to another episode of Love is Spoken Queer. If you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to send us an email at our Gmail account, which is lovespokenqueer@gmail.com, or send us a direct message on our social channels. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you really love our episodes and our show, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is the fastest way for us to share our words with everyone out there. So again, thank you for listening.